He had an emergency. He had to go with his family. A family thing.
Okay.
We have two requests for public comment on the. But let me confirm that if that public comment is on item 9, let me ask that those requesting to speak wait until we reach item 9 following closed session to make their comment. Is that?
Well, it's fine with me that Dr. Hurst actually has a clinic to get to this afternoon. It's a little unclear on the time.
In that case, I would say go ahead now.
Okay. And I think we'll both be fairly brief on this.
All right. Okay. All right. Go ahead.
Thanks.
Good morning, Jack Funk. I'm retired from the Public Defender's Office. I am not here as an attorney. I'm also a member of the Retiree Support Group Board. I'm not here as a member of the Retiree Support Group Board either. I'm just here in my own individual capacity. And the reason I'm here today is on today's agenda, item number 9 is addressed to whether the Retirement Association will seek reimbursement from the county for funds concerning a physician call pay item that's identified as panel management pay. And in August, as you saw in your packet, letters were sent to 4 retired physicians stating that a determination had been made that their pensions would be cut due to the retroactive disallowance of panel management pay as a pension item. These letters were sent with no prior notice to any of the affected retirees, affording them an opportunity to address the appropriateness of this action. One physician received his letter advising him of the intended cut the day before the cut took effect, and all 4 had their pensions cut on September 1st of this year. Each of the affected physicians wrote to the Retirement Association requesting the opportunity to contest the determination that the pay item in question was not pensionable. To date, no response has been received by any of the 4 to address this due process concern. On May the 7th of 2014, the board's law firm advised the board by legal memorandum that the question of physician call pay was a murky issue and that the drawing of bright lines was not appropriate. At the May 7th, 2014 hearing, attorney Harvey Lederman spoke to this issue and stated that each physician retiree should be allowed the opportunity to present evidence as to why a given disputed call item should be deemed pensionable or not. The board adopted its attorney's recommendations at that time, but that advice and accepted procedure was completely ignored as to the 4 physicians who have just had their pensions reduced. Those 4 affected physician retirees continue to request that they each be afforded due process and a chance to make their case as to why this determination to disallow panel management pay as a portion of their FAS calculation, which was made after they had each retired, is wrong as applied to them. The 3 of the affected physicians could not be present today as they're busy treating patients for the county's health department. But Dr. David Hurst is here and has a few words in a letter to present, I believe. Thank you.
Hello, I'm David Hurst. I'm a family practice physician working mostly out at the Brentwood Health Center. I retired 3 years ago after 25 years of service, and I'm now working a little less than half time, so I've been working for health services for just over 28 years. I'm also speaking on behalf of 3 other physicians, Dr. Krista Ferry, Dr. Priscilla Hinman, and Dr. Dana Slauson, and we've all had our pensions reduced for the same reason. We've written a letter that I'd like to read to you, and then I have copies for you all. So we would like to request a hearing to discuss whether the panel management pay was pensionable at the time of our retirement. We believe that it was for the following reasons. 1, it was required work. Because of the number and complexity of our patients in our clinics, we generally did not finish until after the clinics were scheduled to end, around 12 or 5. After we finished seeing patients, we were then required to review labs and test results, refill prescriptions, call patients, complete forms, and do other tasks. 2. All physicians doing family practice clinics were required to do this. Even though the county decided they would only pay physicians who did 5 clinics a week or more for their extra work, all were required to do the work. 3. It was scheduled. We worked through so-called required breaks, much of our lunch hour, then long after the clinic was scheduled to end to complete the work. There were no electronic medical records at that time, so we had to do the work on the days that we were regularly scheduled to do clinics. And we only received the panel management pay on the days when we actually worked in clinic. And 4, we were expressly told by our managers that panel management pay was pensionable. It is important to know that there's never been a full discussion about whether our panel management pay should be pensionable. A few years ago, there was a series of articles in the Contra Costa Times complaining about physicians' pensions. Then, at the next labor management negotiations, the physicians' union was forced to accept changes to the description of the panel management pay to make it clear that that would no longer be pensionable. And the 4 of us had already retired by that time. This had nothing to do with the discussion about whether panel management pay had been or could be pensionable. In fact, the physicians' union was not aware of any analysis by CSERA staff determining that panel management pay, as previously described, was not pensionable. The pension on panel management pay was taken away during negotiations. It was only after this change was made to the MOU that the physicians' union requested a refund of the pension payments that had been made on panel management pay. This was requested because physicians who were still working could not get any benefit from the retirement contributions they had made for panel management pay in the past, since their pension will only be based on their last year of pay, not including panel management pay. The refunds were not made because of a determination that panel management pay prior to the new MOU was not pensionable. This is clearly complicated. Therefore, we request a hearing where there can be a full presentation, discussion, and evaluation of the problem. Thank you.
Doctor, this is the first that I've heard of this term panel management.
Yes.
Can you explain it a little more as far as what panel management duties are? And
So any family practitioner, we spend really all of our so-called 8 hours a day that we're in clinic seeing patients, usually we're behind, and by the time we get done, there's still a lot of things that have to be done. We need to refill prescriptions, we get lab results that we need to review, x-ray results, sometimes we need to talk to patients about those results, perhaps order other tests. There's forms to be filled out for everything from disability to somebody needs to have a dog living with them for their, their comfort. So there's a lot of things that happen after we're done seeing patients, and that's what's called panel management.
So it can be a conglomeration of duties. It's not a specific duty that you will be doing this particular task from 5 to 6 after your 8-hour.
Well, we do all of those things. So, one day it might be mostly refills, the other days it might be mostly phone calls, another day it might be labs, but they're all, mixed together, and that's all part of managing a panel of patients. We're assigned a group of patients, roughly 1,500 people for a full-time physician. Again, besides seeing them in clinic, we're also supposed to manage their care, their refills, their medicines, their lab results, their questions, things like that.
So you say that the MOU was modified at a point in the past after you and the other 3 doctors had retired.
Right.
The panel management duties are still required?
They're still the same duties that are required.
But they're just not pensionable.
My understanding is that, according to the head of the physicians' union, that the wording was changed to make it clear that the panel management pay would not be pensionable.
Okay. Thank you.
Well, and to that, it just with the not, I'm familiar with this issue simply because we dealt with the MOU issue on the Board of Supervisors. But my question is were you just given sort of a lump sum weekly or monthly or per pay period for panel management, or were there certain set hours that you required, or were you keeping track of the time that you spent on panel management? That's what I'm not entirely clear upon.
We got 1.5 hours. It was actually listed as on-call pay, but basically it turned out to 1.5 hours for each day that we actually worked in clinic. So if I worked, say, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday in clinic, I would get paid for those 4 different times, 1.5 hours each day. If I was on vacation that week, I wouldn't get paid for that. Some people worked 5 days a week, and they would then get paid panel management for all 5 days.
And was there any accountability of whether you had to use that full 1.5 hours per day, that work was actually done, or it was just sort of assumed that you would, or maybe some
right.
days you would, some days you wouldn't. I'm just sort of
right. It was basically a fixed amount of time. Some days we would do more, some days we would do less, but we would always be paid the same amount. Kind of like when we do our clinics, when we go, we have to spend more than say 4 hours on a clinic, we still just get paid for more than 4 hours. It used to be we sometimes leave early and still get paid the same 4 hours.
Hey, Doc, this is Gabe Rodriguez. Was that required every day, or is it something that people would sign up for?
It was required every day. So we did not sign up for specifically. Whenever we were in clinic, we were expected to do those extra tasks.
Sometimes in the past, we've seen with some medical ones where people in the last year of their service will pick up all the on-call pay. So it was nothing like that.
No, it was not like that. Anybody that did 5 clinics a week was able to get that, and of course, everybody that did 5 clinics wanted to get paid for that, and we did get paid for that. So there was no option of doing it or not, no.
Okay, thank you.
Are there any other questions of Dr. Hurst? Well,
yes. So you would say that this is inside normal working hours, then? I mean, it's expected every week that you would be doing this?
It was expected every...
It wasn't voluntary?
No.
And were you paid at the same scale as your regular salary? It was just the same hourly rate, not an enhanced...
Same hourly rate.
Mm. Okay.
So what's your understanding of the current relationship? I'm not sure that's entirely appropriate since you're now retired, but is the MOU now... Is the time still being put in, but it's being coded differently, or it's being how's
that's
it being?
My understanding that it's coded differently or called something differently. I'm not quite sure, but there was, again, some change made in the language to.
So it's permanent and reoccurring, is what you're saying.
Right.
Todd.
Raleigh. I keep hearing that the MOU made it clear that it's not pensionable. My understanding that CSERA makes that determination, not the employer. Is that accurate?
Well, after the fact, I wasn't party to the negotiations, but a determination was made that it was not pensionable. We were made aware of this actually in 2013, and that's reflected in the county's resolution. I think it was September of 2013. And based on that and the retroactivity, we process the refunds of interest for the active members' contributions that had been made. And then these 4 individuals that had retired, we had to process those. So based on what we saw at the time, as far as the county interpreting what we saw as panel management at that time, it appeared as though it was not a pensionable pay code. And then based on that, we went through with the processing on our side for the actives. And in that vein, because we processed the refunds of interest for the actives, it was equitable for the retirees to be treated in that same way, since if that group wasn't able to derive a benefit from that pay code for pensionable purposes, then the ones that had retired, it would follow that. They would not be eligible as well. So that's why we went through the review process, the calculations, and took another look at, you know, what the panel might be.
Okay, so following up on that, it sounds like at the end of every shift, according to the doctor, everyone in this class had to do this, you know, extra function. What, in looking at the record, and I know you weren't there, in looking back, what was the main determining factor that led Cicero to say it's not pensionable?
Well, I think it's that element, actually, because it was at the end of their normal work day, that it was extra work that was done. They were not performing the duties, as Dr. Hirsch just mentioned. They may do some someday or other, but as long as they had those five clinics during the week, they would be paid that amount each month, as long as they qualified having the five clinics a month. So.
And that's a good point, though. Was everybody working five clinics a week?
No.
So everybody in the same class, they weren't doing the same amount of work.
Well, they were all doing the same thing, but whether they were paid for it is a question.
And why wouldn't they be paid for it if they were all doing the same?
Well, because the county health services felt that it was, they wanted to encourage people to do a large number of clinics. They thought that would improve access, and so that was a way of encouraging people to do more clinics. So if you did those clinics, then you would get paid for all the work you did. If you didn't, then you were just expected to do the work without being paid for it.
So this PMP, if I may use the term, wasn't available to everybody necessarily because you had a limit or a cap on it. Once it was used up...
No.
No?
No, there's no cap to it. I don't know what you mean. Not a cap. There's only an hour and a half.
Hours in the clinics you can make available to the public, and after that, and if it's filled by X number of physicians, the rest of the physicians are out of it.
No, we're always desperate for more physicians and more clinics, so everybody had the option of working five clinics if they wanted to, and again, that was the reason for this, to try to push people to do those clinics.
But it doesn't sound like it was required then, if they had the option of not working the five clinics.
It was not required to do the five clinics. It was required to do the refills and to do all the work.
Right. But to do the five clinics entitled you to the PMP.
To be paid for that work.
But if I didn't want to do the five clinics, then I wouldn't be entitled to the PMP.
You would not be entitled to the pay, no, but you still do the work, right?
I'm sorry. I thought you said earlier that if you did four clinics, then you would get the 4 hour and a half.
No, if you work 4 days, so you could do two clinics in a day. So if, say, Monday I worked in the morning and the afternoon, and then maybe half a day on Tuesday and a couple days, and then a whole day on Wednesday and a half a day on Thursday, so I would do six clinics, but I would only be paid for the days that I was actually in clinic. So for those 4 days, so Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, even though I'm doing six half days, only the days that I'm actually in clinic that I get paid for.
Okay.
Drew?
Can I touch just a little bit on the due process? There's a statement made that one of the physicians may have received notice only a day before that monthly payment. I'd like to have staff respond to that if they could as to whether or not that's an accurate statement.
We mailed the letters all at the same time. I'm not sure if there was an issue with the postal service or something like that where he only saw it the day before.
So when were they mailed? How much in advance if they all got mailed?
I believe it was the beginning of August.
So they got it in a month in advance?
Yeah.
There was one receipt that after the fact we had a return that they didn't sign because it was sent certified and the resident didn't sign for delivery.
Okay, so it's not entirely accurate to suggest that person, the implication there is that it was mailed the day before they got it or something. So it was mailed a month before they acknowledged receipt. Okay, thank you.
Okay, Will?
Question. The MOU that we're talking about, the one that essentially decided that it was not pensionable, what was the effect in terms of the timing of that? What was the effect of that MOU? I mean, what were the years that it was in effect?
Well, I believe it's still in effect. And I'm not
okay, so it's current? And then prior to that MOU, when was that MOU, do you think, established or taken into effect and signed by both parties?
I don't know when that was. If I was to guess, I'd say maybe a couple of years ago, but I don't know exactly.
And then prior to that MOU, what was the understanding in the MOU regarding panel management pay being pensionable?
I don't think it was mentioned in the MOU. I think that it was given as on-call pay, but it was not in the MOU.
And then last question for this thought process. The ones that retired, when did they retire? Did they retire in the effect of this MOU or previously?
Previous. Yeah, we had all retired by the time this whole thing came up, from the newspaper articles to the change in MOU and the,
Okay.
Dr. Hurst, you indicated that you were told, and the other doctors were told, that this was pensionable. Was that telling oral or in writing, and who was it that did that?
That was it was an email from Dr. Chris Farnatano, who was our supervising. He was the I think he was the head of ambulatory care at the time.
Okay, so it was in writing, and was to each one of you during the period that we're now talking about, and during the period that you were being compensated for it. Okay, thank you.
So the letter you received from Cicera, did it advise you that you could challenge this or request a hearing? It just said that this would, these adjustments would be made?
Correct. Okay. And we have all sent individually letters requesting a hearing, and none of us have heard anything back about that yet.
Okay. And so prior to receiving the letter from Cicera, at least the four of you that are involved and retired before the change, you didn't receive anything before that notifying you?
No notice of this, no. We were not given any chance to kind of present our side of the story or anything. No.
Okay.
Christy?
Has this pay code always been referred to as panel management pay?
Or no.
Did it have a different name before?
It was coded under on-call.
And did this board ever discuss the on-call that was being paid to physicians as whether or not it was pensionable? Did we ever have that discussion before where perhaps these physicians were notified and given the opportunity to come in and challenge our decision? First time that this panel management pay has actually been brought up?
I believe so.
Okay, or the likes of it under a different name? We've never discussed this before as a board deciding whether or not it was pensionable.
We've discussed on-call pay.
On-call pay.
You've discussed on-call
pay. Which is not the same as, in this case, panel management pay. Mm-hmm.
They're not the same. Bifurcating that out of on-call.
Right. Darren?
I'd like to address that point, but just generally right now, this is under public comment, and I'd like the board to be mindful of the fact that whether or not panel management pay is a pensionable item is not on today's agenda. I understand from the public comments that there's a request to have a hearing on that matter. That's not on the agenda for today. Any determinations that were made by Cicera on whether or not this pay item is pensionable, that is not something that is set out in an MOU. The MOU does not say whether something is or isn't pensionable. The MOU is an agreement between the employer and the employee about the circumstances for that pay and what that pay represents. It doesn't make any mention of whether that pay is or isn't pensionable. Whether the pay is pensionable is a determination by Cicera. Under the compensation earnable policy that this board adopted, the Cicera staff makes a determination in accordance with the law about whether or not a pay item is pensionable. That is communicated to the county. The last point is that this board also adopted error corrections policies with regards to overpayment and underpayment of pension benefits and pension contributions. And that, again, has a process set out in it whereby Cicera staff can implement changes, reductions to benefits in order to correct an overpayment of benefit. So what I suggest the board does at this point is you may wish to move to this item on the agenda today if you wish to do that. But that item, again, doesn't have to do with whether or not panel management pay is pensionable. It's an aspect of that panel management pay that is being presented today.
Okay.
So you say we need to agendize it to discuss it.
In order to discuss and make a determination about whether or not panel management pay is pensionable, yes, that would have to be on the agenda.
Well, and what question procedurally as well? Apparently, there was a request for a hearing. Did we have any obligation to fulfill that request, or are we in process of doing that? Or I'm just wondering procedurally why they hadn't been notified back of what needed to take place.
With regards to the retroactive correction of past overpayments. Yes, they would be, the retirees would be entitled to a hearing on that. That hasn't been done, as far as I know. Gail and Raleigh, please correct me if I'm wrong. There has been no reduction to retiree allowances in order to recoup retroactive overpayments.
Correct.
Correct. The reduction that was implemented was to the correct pension amount going forward.
Just the going forward. Okay. And that doesn't require a hearing. I'm just trying to determine.
Not under our policies, but okay. We wouldn't be opposed to a hearing on that if there's an issue about whether or not panel management pay in general should be treated as pensionable item as opposed to non-pensionable item. We certainly can agendize a item on that for the board to consider.
Because that's our discretion at CSERA, not the county's discretion of whether it's pensionable, despite the MOU we've now entered into. How does that affect it going forward? Again, recognizing that it's been, pay codes have been changed, and I think, you know, from the board's standpoint, it appeared to the board that this was a way to sort of provide a bonus and enhancement to those who are working those five different clinics to make that available. And thus, we did make a correction a year ago. But I'm just wondering, would that have any decision on our part?
Just to clarify the record, you mean by the Board of Supervisors?
The Board of Supervisors, yeah. Right. Yeah, I've got my both hats. Yeah. I'm trying to flip right. them on back and forth. So.
The item 9, Karen, does it require that the for us to move item 9 to now on the agenda?
I'd like to discuss item 9, but again, item 9 does not have to do with whether or not.
Well, it's going to be the second part of my comment, that item 9, just going directly to the words, the board is being asked to direct whether or not to direct staff to seek from the county an amount representing the amount of the overpayment. That is what the genesis of item 9 is. Obviously, we have several choices. Given the amount of time we've spent on this, I would suggest that it makes sense to deal with item 9 now with Dr. Hurst and the other speaker being available. And perhaps what we are going to end up doing is deferring to a hearing before we make a decision on going forward with the recommendation. Is that generally the sense of the board?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Well, let's proceed then with item 9.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Recording excerpted.